Greet you all in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who has redeemed us from a life of sin and made us new creatures in Christ Jesus, whom having not seen we love, though now we see him not, yet believing we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. So we can rejoice in that this morning. Even though we don't see Christ, yet believing, we know what he's done for us through the power of his work of the atonement, through the power of his resurrection, and through what he is presently doing for the church. You know, the church is a spiritual nation in the context of civil nations. And I just thank God that we are a part of that spiritual priesthood, a nation of the Church of the Living God. This morning I want to speak on the subject of God's secret agents. Tell me what that's going to be. God's secret agents. Our devotional text introduced us to that subject. Hebrews 12:22 says, "But ye are coming to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an heavenly Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable company of angels and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, that speaketh better things than that of Abel, and to the blood of sacrifice which he has made for us, which speaketh better things than that of Abel." We are come unto the church of the living God and to an innumerable company of angels. Are they? Can you see them presently around us? "But the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." And we have that confidence and trust. And we are keenly aware of that. You sisters are aware of that. In the order you being subject to your spiritual head, in the order God has placed you, and the roles you are fulfilling, says, "For this cause ought a woman to have power on her head because of the angels." You have power on your head because of the angels. So we're going to outline God's secret agents. There's about 300 biblical references to angels that are at God's command in the Old and New Testament. And we cannot cover that whole scope this morning, but we want to introduce you. We want to outline God's purposes and plan. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them which are heirs of salvation?" We have the ministry of angels among us this morning in the Church of the Living God. But we want to look at Hebrews chapter 1. We want to keep in focus the fact of God's position, Jesus' preeminence in the light of the work and ministry of angels. Hebrews chapter 1. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Mission completed. and that Christ came, give his life as a sacrifice for sin, fulfill the purpose and plan of God in doing the will of the Father. Christ being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son? Question. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee, Christ, with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, but as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and the years shall not fail. But to the, which of the angels saith he at any time, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Question. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Question. Clearly outlines Christ's preeminence. He created the world. He created this whole universe by the word of his mouth. And at the word of his mouth, it's going to be folded up, and as a vesture shall they be changed, and as a vesture the heavens are going to be folded up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But in the context of this, in the context of time, we are living not only in a physical world, but in a spiritual world. Very much so. And we are in the arena presently in a way in which God, through Christ, has brought us to a relationship with him and a personal relationship with him. And he is working out his perfect will and plan through, in and through the Church of the Living God, who is invincible. And yet, in the context of this, we have the ministry of angels, and we're going to look into that. So angels aren't merely a speculation about supernatural phenomena. We want to focus on the positives of the Christian. We want to focus on this positive of the Christian faith. Satan is capable of doing supernatural things, but only acts by the permissive will of God. He is on a leash. It is God who is all-powerful and sovereign. To just see a glimpse of that, we're going to turn to Job 1, 9 to 12. God is sovereign. And though Satan has much power, Job had a hedge about him, and Satan could not touch him until God sovereignly left him enough leash to do so. Job 1, 9 to 12. We're going to read from verse 8. No, we'll read from verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou made, not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thou now thy hand, put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon him self put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. God sovereignly controls all the circumstances that we face in life. We are under God's divine protection. That's why we can say the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So we have a hedge about us. But we are in the arena of spiritual warfare. And God's name will be honored and glorified in every circumstance. In that he will rule and overrule in all the affairs of man, according to his divine purpose and will. Personally, in the life of the church, and in the experience of nations, and in the rule of nations. God sovereignly rules. And Satan, though he is powerful, and does things by supernatural acts, does it only by the permissive will of God. I want to move on. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. God has commissioned angels to aid the Christian in times of conflict. Turn with me to Daniel 7. Before we go there, we want to notice the fact that angels are created beings. And as I think of that, where in the context of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, in the 6 days of creation, were angels created? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Does it mention angels? It don't specifically mention angels in the course of God's creating the heaven and the earth. But he created all things. I think, this is maybe my speculation or conjecture, angels would have been created, I think, maybe on the fourth day when God created the lights of heaven, the moon and the stars and all the celestial bodies of the heaven. Well, I'm placing them there. And in the end of creation, he said he created all things perfect. So angels were created perfect. Angels are created beings. But in that, they have a beginning. They were not eternal. They have a beginning, but they do have, but they are, have a, they have an end in, I was going to say existence. No, eternal in existence. In that they, through moral choice, they have the will, they have moral choice to obey God or to reject him. And Satan, Lucifer, son of the morning, he was, turn with me we're going to look at that. Isaiah 14, 12 to 14. Isaiah 14. We're going to read from verse 10. And they shall speak and say unto thee, Art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials is as a worm spread under thee. The worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Exclamation mark. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt thy throne above all the stars of heaven. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Thou shalt be brought down to hell and to the sides of the north. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the one, the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that open not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all them, lie in glory, every one of them in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, as a raiment, as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword and go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Ezekiel 28. Notice the beauty that Lucifer once, that God had created, as how he created him. Verse 11, Moreover the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyre, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And then we'll go down to 17. we'll read on down. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries of the multitude of thine by thine iniquities. Gives a clear description of how God created Lucifer in the beginning, a chief cherub, beautiful. And it gives it that description. But self-will, pride, he was cast out of heaven. And you go to the arena that we're living in today, and you go to Revelation chapter 12, and there you see that in him being cast out of heaven, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, the cast down to the earth. And that is the multitude of fallen angels, a third of the stars of heaven. This gives you bit of an overview of the arena that we're in. But angels are created beings. Go to me to Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So all the angels are created beings, principalities and powers, dominion and might. All things were created by him and for him, that in all things he might have the preeminence. They're all ministering spirits. They do not possess physical bodies, although they take on physical body when God appoints. And we can see that when we look at the study of angels. At times that we don't see them today. But at times, many times in the Old Covenant, they were a bodily physical form. They came as men to Abraham's gate when he was sitting in the gate. And Manoah, they came in a form that man was discernible by the physical senses of men and realizing it was a divine presence. We could say in that they are divine, God's divinely appointed emissaries in doing the will of God, in making announcements to men concerning the will of God, and also in the administration of his divine power in the preservation and the execution of the preservation of men and societies, or the final destruction of men and societies. They're the emissaries, the divine emissaries of God that do God's will at God's spoken word. They don't have the powers or capability to procreate. We see that when they were talking, Christ was debating or talking with the Pharisees and scribes about the resurrection, and they said a man had a wife, another man had, I think she had five wives, and whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? He said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures. We're in the resurrection, conditions of future life in the resurrection. For when they shall rise from the dead, they shall neither marry nor be given in marriage, but are as the angels in heaven. After our final resurrection, there will be no gender identity. Our marriage is finished, is consummated at death. And we enter into the presence of God as to worship him along with the myriads of angels. And he said, you do err not knowing the scriptures. We're not going to have a physical body or presence. We are going to have an immortal body, and we're going to be as the angels of heaven. Would you say the empire of angels is as vast as God's creation? Psalm 68:17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. Revelation 5:11. 10,000 times 10,000 ministering to the Lamb of God. Christ said before Pilate, he said, know you not that I could call 12 legions of angels to come to my assistance? How many is that? 12 legions. What's a legion? Huh? 12 legions of angels? Yeah, 144,000. 12 legions of angels. 12,000 times 12,000. 12 legions of angels to come to my assistance. There he stood before Pilate, but he was surrendered to do the will of God and fulfill the plan of God's work and the plan of salvation. Their work, basically, is to bring glory and praise to God. Christians should never feel a sense that the operation of, we should always have a sense of the operation of angelic glory, but realize it eclipses that of Satan's power and of his realm. It eclipses it. Can we this morning behold the greatness of God and the work, the ministry of angels as they are around the throne of God and worshiping God in praise and adoration? Do they know and understand the plan of redemption? No, they don't. They don't sing the songs Amazing Grace. They don't sing all the songs concerning the plan of redemption. It says in 1 Peter 1, which things the angels desire to look into, but they don't understand. And angels, fallen angels, can never be redeemed. They're damned for eternity. The angels of God, presently ruling in the heavens and doing the work of God, is all powerful. They are all powerful in fulfilling the work of God to according to his decree. Angels speak; they appear and reappear. Seen that in Manoah concerning Manoah's wife and Manoah. They are guardians of God's holiness. I think when it comes to angels, they have the realm of the archangels, which is was Lucifer, Michael, Gabriel, seraphims, cherubims. Cherubims are guardians of God's holiness. And we see when man failed, man sinned in the garden, they were thrust from the garden. And there stood at the gateway to Eden was a cherub, the cherubims, guardians of God's holiness, with flaming sword turning either way and not allowing them to return back and eat or partake of the tree of life and the knowledge of good and evil. They're guardians of God's holiness in that they're in the Ark of the Covenant. The cherubims overshadowed the mercy seat. Beautiful picture. And their wings were pointed toward each other. And they were guardians of God's holiness, God's presence, where he came down to the mercy seat after the atonement and the blood was sprinkled. And there his Shekinah glory came down and filled the temple. They were guardians of God's holiness. Do we have that today? Absolutely. Seraphims, Isaiah chapter 6, they are angels which express the glory or express worship to the glory of God. And Isaiah, as he beheld that scene in a vision, beheld that scene, he realized his sin before God. And the angel came and with a coal from off the altar and cleanse his lips. And he there stood in the presence of a holy God, seraphims. That's their work. Angels never draw attention to themselves, but always ascribe glory to God. Are angels to be worshipped? Do we sing songs to angels? Worship alone belongs to God, truly the only one who is worthy. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Do we sing songs about the Holy Spirit? We do many about Christ. We sing songs about God, greatness of the universe, his creation, his power, the greatness of his being. We sing songs, many songs about Christ in redemption. Do we sing songs about the Holy Spirit? Is it right to? Yes, it is. Part of the Trinity. It's part of the Trinity. So we sing songs. The Comforter has come. And we sing songs that ascribe greatness to, okay, God the Father, his omniscience, omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. We sing songs ascribing greatness and worship to Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of redemption and all he's done for us. Many songs in our songbook about that, and we sing songs that ascribe greatness and worthiness of the work of the Holy Spirit and in coming and revealing himself through the written word. But he never speaks of himself. The work of the Holy Spirit is always in reveals and illuminates these pages to our understanding and to our rejoicing in the work. But we don't ascribe greatness to her. One time, an angel came and stood before John in the book of Revelation, and he had a vision. I forget what the occasion was. And John fell at his feet to worship. But the angel said, "Don't worship me." He picked him up off his feet. God alone is to be worshipped. And it talks in Colossians chapter 2 about beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. And that goes on to talk about worshiping angels. And we're not to do that. So angels are not to be worshiped. We're going to move on here. Are angels sensitive? So we don't pray to angels. Rather, our worship is with angels universally and in worshiping the Lamb of God. And you can see that in Revelation chapter 5. Worthy art thou to receive honor and glory, and all nations bow before him in reverence to the Lamb of God. And angels, the voice of angels is enwrapped in that song of praise and adoration and worship. They joy. Angels joy. Even though they don't understand the plan of redemption, Luke 15:10, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents. The angels rejoice when a man repents, a person repents. There's angels. The angels rejoice in the presence of God. They're visible and invisible. Our brother shared in Daniel chapter 6, and Daniel said, "My God has sent his angel who has shut the lion's mouths." The power of angels, ministering spirits. In it, "My God has sent his angel." So we see their protective power and the power of the work of their ministry. We could go through Hebrews 11. For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. God's protective power and enabling power to keep them in time of severe trial and affliction. What about the last part of the chapter? Stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness we made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of aliens. But women received their death, their dead raised to life again. Another had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. Where were the angels then? They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Where are they in that scene? Angels perform the will of God in protecting hand and empowering them to be victorious by faith. And the last part, they are delivered through death. That was God's will. So it is today. Burning fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, with King Nebuchadnezzar looked into that furnace. Lo, there was four beings in there. And one was like unto the Son of God, an angel. They don't have insight, understand, or have insight into the plan of redemption. We can see that in 1 Peter 1, 11 and 12. Let's turn to that, 1 Peter 1. And 12. Searching what or what manner of spirit of Christ which is in them did the prophets did signify when it testified before unto the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. The prophets prophesied, didn't understand the full extent of the prophecy until the Holy Spirit gave them lightning power, and the angels desire to look into, but they don't understand. But they are created above men. Christ was made a little lower than the angels in his humanity. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, angels were created above men. They're not omniscient. What proves that in Mark 13, 32, the second coming, but of the day and of the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, when that is going to happen. So they're not omniscient. The power of angels, we reflected on the Hall of Fame in relation to men's faith and what God did in Hebrews chapter 11. They are powerful. Do they sing? Do angels sing? Yes, they do. They play harps, they play instruments, they sing and laud the glory of God and give him honor and glory. Revelation 5, 11 and 12. They have a capacity to employ celestial music in songs of praise to God and give him honor and glory. And what a time that's going to be. I'd love to hear that chorus, wouldn't you? And men redeemed from all nations, for all nations and kindreds, join with the angels of heaven and glory, the last great hallelujah chorus. You think angels will sing? Yes, they will. Their voices will swell with ours. The archangel Michael, Jude 9, Ark suggests a chief or great, one having superior power. And then Daniel 12, 1, it talks about the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. You could go through the book of Daniel and see where his prayers, he had prayed and fasted for 40 days, and he was in great perplexity and troubled in his countenance, and he was not understanding and Michael the archangel came and said, the kings of Persia and of Greece have withstood me coming, but now I am here, and he fulfilled that work. For the Lord himself, the power of the archangel, says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall arise first. Are you waiting for that day? And it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, concerning the return of the Lord, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven, with his holy angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those who know not God and those who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Manifestation of the greatness of the work of angels in being associated with God and fulfilling the or in playing out of the judgment seen upon men. Angels will supervise the fearsome events of the end time. And we already looked at Lucifer. We're just going to finish here. personal ministry of angels. The scriptures confirm that, and the Bible assures us, that one day we will have an unscaled vision of angels in the presence of God. In Hebrews, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we don't see him now, it's as a veil over our understanding, but then we will see him face to face. It confirmed that they are subjects who individually come and minister to our needs in a physical way and a spiritual way. How many of you have ever sensed divine protection, angel protection? Let's see, raise hands. What was the occasion? Near accident? Could have been really tragic. Something happened, you all of a sudden were brought aware. I remember that happened one day. I had my dad with me, and he was blind, he could hardly see. Came up to an intersection, and I stopped, but I was going to pull out. I hadn't looked right. And just about the time I started, he shouted, and I stopped, and whiz, a big truck went just past us that fast. Angel protection? God, Dad couldn't see, but he shouted, yeah, angel protection. And many times we could talk about them kind of instances. So there is incredible warfare taking place in the spirit world concerning the conflict among governments and nations. Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel 4:35, he made this statement, "He doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou?" And then he said, "All those who walk in pride, he is able to abase." Angels are involved in that. Angels went and ministered. We could talk many instances concerning angel. The work of angels, Isaiah 63, 7 to 9, God's loving kindness toward Israel. It says, as an angel being their savior. Angels ministered to the apostle John as he was in the Isle of Patmos, Revelation 1, 1 to 3. Angels' message to Joseph. They were special angels, a proclamation of that faithfully bridged the centuries of time, carrying the message of God's will in times of oppression, discouragement, and waning endurance. His heavenly messengers have encouraged, sustained, and lifted the spirits of many. Flagging saints and angels have changed many hopeless circumstances into bright prospect through the greatest announcement ever given to man. God's message to Joseph. Turn with me to Matthew 1. Their birth announcements. They give the birth announcements. The greatest message given by an angel to man. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thy wife Mary, unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So they are God's divinely commissioned secret agents to do a work yet among us in the New Testament dispensation. They are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Do we comprehend it? I don't think we do fully. It's not a supernatural spiritual phenomena that is sort of out there somewhere. They are a living reality. Their ministry is a living reality to us who have experienced redemption and a fulfillment of God's unfolding plan personally and in the church and in the nations of men. And the great culmination when God is going to have all men bow before him in the great white throne scene of judgment, and all nations are going to be brought, and every man, it says, every man is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That day is fast approaching. Let us be faithful and thank God for the ministry of angels in our midst.